well, some would say, Wiggy, and you played for the man, that that is Bill Belichick doing what he always did and standing up for his guys. And some would say that that is Bill taking a giant slingshot and firing it in the direction of his replacement, Gerard Mayo. And so that is the debate that has begun post Curtis's lead. We have leads left, but if you have a comment on that, we
think it's just his opinion based on what was said. Like his opinion on a coach calling his team soft. Like if you watch Bill, and I told you I hate the Manning cast, but I watch it every first half because I like to get some of like the hair and Bill and some of the, he's very critical about coaches. He's very critical about other teams. So I feel like that's Bill just giving his opinion on, which is something that probably has gone national, where the head coach calls his team soft.
If he loves these players so much, why didn't he praise them after the unbelievable biggest upset of week one?
Oh, you got to ask Bill that.
I'm asking you guys.
Don't you think that Bill is the type of coach that doesn't really praise after a week one win? Like, I'm sure Bill looked at that and thought the Gatorade bath was ridiculous.
He runs to the defensive players. Why wouldn't he praise them on the national show he's hosting? In fact, why wouldn't he even mention it?
Because I think that he doesn't believe that the season starts till what? Week five, week six?
Oh, my God.
And they didn't even talk about it on week one.
Right. Why do you think that's the case, Jermaine Wiggins?
Is that because Bill
I'm asking you, not telling you anything. I'm asking you. Bill, the biggest upset of week one, correct, Shime?
That is correct.
Okay.
The biggest national pullout story was the Gatorade bath, which now looks dumb. Yep. I agree. But that was the biggest story. You have the guy who coached there for a generation on the Monday after with Pat McAfee talking week one, and he doesn't mention these players he loves.
Because Bill texted him and said, don't ask me anything about the Patriots until they lose.
That's pretty, I don't know, that's kind of rude to talk, not to praise players.
Well, shouldn't you blame McAfee for not asking him?
Right, I did on the show, but if Bill told him not to, that is so pathetic.
Do we know Bill told him not to?
Oh, my. I just expressed
it. He probably want to take the Gatorade bath back after he called them all soft, I would assume.
I mean, if he loves these players, it seems like a great opportunity to praise them after a big upset, but he elected not to. Interesting.
All right. Courtney, your lead this morning?
Hi, good morning, everybody. First and foremost, thank you for all the birthday wishes. I started the show when I was 29. I'm now 33. And I really, in the past 3.5 years, have just become very comfortable in my own skin. And that's all thanks to you guys, especially the ones in this room, and Curtis and Shime and Jackson, of course, and Mitch. But I started the show as one person. I've really grown into my own, and I appreciate everybody taking me in, whether it's through their radios or Twitch or in their homes, and accepting me for who I am, even those who maybe don't agree with me or don't like me. Oh. It's been really, really fun. So that's not my lead, but I just wanted to get that out there.
Are you suggesting that you are growing up before all of our eyes, and in the case of those who listen on any radio station we have in New England, before their ears?
Yes.
Is that what you're suggesting?
Yeah, yeah.
Excellent.
And it's you guys have all made me better, I think. But my lead this morning is Tua Tagovailoa. He announced yesterday that he is going to return to practice on Wednesday, tomorrow, and the hope is that he is going to play in the Dolphins game against the Cardinals on Sunday. He will not be wearing a Guardian cap. He never considered retirement. This is a bad idea. I heard the way that he talked, and I love Tua, and I, you know, everybody has the right to make decisions when it comes to their health, their body, their career, but he's made more money than you could ever imagine, and he has a wife, and he has a child, and he is so young, and to go out there and put your body at risk after seeing the hits that he has taken and the way in which his body has responded, I am so scared watching him play moving forward. And I know that he's been cleared by doctors to say, you know, yeah, you can go back out there. He said he didn't have any concussion symptoms even the day after he took that last hit. But to me, there is so much more to life than football, and I am so worried about Tua's future.
He's so young, and that plays into it, with he works his whole life to get here. He's here where he's one of 32 guys that are starting quarterback in the NFL. There are people, we asked Jelani Tavai about this, and I know people. People would kill just to be on an NFL roster.
But he made it. He made it.
But it's difficult to walk away.
He made it on the roster. He's made $100 million.
Right, yeah. But it's difficult to walk away from something that
you love,
known,
that you're passionate
and
about.
And
you've been
that.
Doing your whole life.
I get yeah. that. I mean, I am so worried. The mm-hmm. fact, and I don't understand the decision. He said it was a personal decision to mm-hmm. not wear the Guardian cap, but to not take every advantage
available. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Great lead, Courtney. And we can discuss that as mm-hmm. the morning moves on. Wiggy, hello.
All right. Hello. Good morning. So I am super excited about tonight. I'm still hoping and waiting on some tickets, but if not, you know what? If not, I might pull up. My man's having a little event, Mathematic Athletics, up at Dorchester Brewing Company.
Okay, that's a thing.
That's yeah. a thing. So maybe I pull up there tonight between 6 and 11. I don't know. Uh-huh. I might want to watch the game with the peeps in the neighborhood.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what. Celtics run it back.
I said it.
They got the best coach in the league.
Yeah.
You have.
Right.
This is my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Not bad of the 30 NBA GMs.
Yeah, 30 NBA GMs don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Right.
I would say probably top three best plays in the league in Jason Tatum.
Okay.
You have Jaylen Brown, who's probably somewhere between 11 and 9. You have an unbelievable starting five. There is no reason why you shouldn't run this back and repeat.
No one scares you in the NBA.
No one. And then when you look at your teams that you're going to be competing against in the Eastern Conference, I'm not concerned about the Knicks. Mm-hmm. With Kyle Anthony Towns going there, I'm not concerned with Milwaukee. You've been able to handle Milwaukee pretty. I'm not concerned with the Miami Heat.
What about Bronny and LeBron?
The Lakers, I am surely not concerned with. Golden State, you start to look. The only team, and I'm not concerned with them, that made themselves better and what they needed to be might be the Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah.
In the addition of Klay Thompson. But there's nobody who scares me. I'm not scared of the Indiana Pacers. Mm-hmm. You know, I think they got the monkey off their back of winning a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Now what they do is they play loose, and this allows them.
Fun.
So when they go out there to play teams like Indiana and the Knicks, they go, we blow this team off the court because we're a far better team than this.
Okay, Wiggy, thank you very much. Can't wait.
Yep.
And if you are not lucky enough to be at the game tonight, there's a big watch party going on at City Hall Plaza, I believe.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, I just saw the news just had it on behind you. Looks like a good setup. Okay. And going to be a good night.
Where's Bill Wiggs?
Watch parties everywhere. Yeah. You know?
All right. So my lead was I'm pivoting based on Curtis's lead this morning and the ferocious back and forth that he and I had to start the show this morning.
I love you.
My lead was going to be that baseball is back based on what you have to pay to go see game one of the World Series in Los Angeles.
Wild.
Nosebleeds are $1,200. That's the cheapest ticket into see World Series Game 1. And tickets on the first base line are $45,000.
Jeez.
But anyway.
That is wild.
In light of Curtis and the discussion that we had about Bill Belichick being petty, I shared this with Courtney and Wiggy during the break, and they were both very interested in it. And I don't, I always consider the source. But Bill Simmons on his podcast this week said that he was told that throughout the season, last season, Gerard Mayo would be late for or would miss meetings because he was meeting privately with Bill Belichick. And so
with Robert Kraft,
meeting privately with Robert Kraft. Mm-hmm. So I would just ask you, if you were in Bill's shoes and you brought a guy on
mm-hmm.
who had played for you
mm-hmm.
and where your intent was to mentor him and help him become a head coach in the NFL, and turns out that what he is doing is behind your back meeting with the owner,
mm-hmm.
who I'm assuming had told him that he was going to be the head coach at some point before he told Bill Belichick that he wasn't going to be the head coach.
Mm-hmm.
I think you would probably respond in a very similar way that Bill Belichick does.
Right. Yeah.
I agree. I think if a guy promised his boss that he would be the head coach when he stepped down, if that guy was communicating with an owner of a rival team and quit on a cocktail napkin, that guy would really be wrong. Oh, wait, that's what Bill Belichick did to Parcells. Yeah. So it's kind of ironic that he would be mad about someone else doing that to him, but what do I know?
That's a bit different.
Wait, you wouldn't be, though, Curtis, if I were...
How is it different? You're leaving to go to a rival team. You said it was awful to talk to Dan Orlovsky. He's talking to the owner of the Patriots while he's employed by the Jets.
Well, I mean, I thought you were comparing the Gerard Mayo situation
to
him.
Gerard Mayo, what he did, if I'm Bill, I'm pissed, obviously.
That's what we're talking about.
But I'm saying Bill Belichick doesn't really have a leg to stand on, given how he left the Jets.
If I were meeting with Jackson privately and offering him your job while you were still employed on this radio show,
I would say go for it. Good luck.
You wouldn't be upset about that, Curtis? Come on.
Nobody's disputing that Bill Belichick has a right to have an issue with Gerard Mayo.
I think Bill has handled the divorce in the most classy manner yet. He's taken shot after shot after shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Pat McAfee asked him something, and he responded yesterday. That doesn't bother me at all.
Well, the number one thing with Belichick is loyalty. And once you kind of go outside of that loyalty, that's he really is putting you in the doghouse. That's why there are so many guys that love Bill as a coach but don't like him as a coach because they felt like he wasn't as loyal to them as he was to other places. But that's the number one thing for Bill. And I think a lot of people, I would feel a certain way if – you were talking to somebody behind my back. I understand that's the business of it, but I would feel a certain way. You know what I mean? I would then say stuff afterwards. I would carry that grudge with me for a long time.
That would suck.
It would, Boomer. It would suck.
All right. Well, anyway, those are our leads. We're going to get to They Said It coming up next, and we'll talk about what Joe Mazzulla said about the pressure to repeat for the Boston Celtics on Banner 18 Day. That is coming up. And then at 8:20 this morning, we'll talk to Wick Grosbeck, the governor of the Boston Celtics, on this show about tonight and this season. And at 9, Ty Law on a Ty Tuesday. Here is Courtney now with what is trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99. It is Banner Night. Our champs kick off the regular season tonight, welcoming the New York Knicks to town. The Banner 18 ceremony will take place at 7 p.m. with tip scheduled for 7:30. The only guy on the injury report to start the season is Kristaps Porzingis, who's rehabbing from his surgery. And the Bruins also in action tonight, taking on the Predators in Nashville. Puck drop at 8:45.
Sit Porzingis for as long as you need to.
Yeah.
Have him ready to go and be healthy come the postseason. That's what I would do with Kristaps.
Yeah.
Now, don't take your time. Go to Joel Embiid. No back-to-backs. Sit. Relax. I need you for the playoffs.
Load management.
Yep.
Don't tell Garnett.
I will tell Garnett that. Want to do a repeat, you need Porzingis.
The Ravens took down the Bucks 41-31, and the Cardinals beat the Chargers 17-15 in Monday Night Football. And it is bad news for Brandon Ayuk. He's been diagnosed with a torn ACL-MCL. He will be out for the rest of the season. And an MRI has confirmed that Deshaun Watson has ruptured his Achilles. And you've got to try the 99 Restaurant's new $14.99 Big Deal Meals. Four hearty full-size entrees for just $14.99 every Monday through Wednesday, like the roasted turkey dinner or the juicy chopped sirloin. You got to love the nines. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Happy birthday again. Lovely day for it. 54 degrees and sunny. Afternoon high, sunny in the low 70s.
Banner 18 Day. Celtics get the season underway tonight, and we will talk to Wick Grosbeck about that next hour at 8:20 Thursday on this show. Bill O'Brien, the head coach of Boston College football, at 6:45, and it's a Bruins Thursday with Mike Milbury on this show at 9.
Wait, the experts of the Twitch chat said we didn't have them this year.
Oh, they did?
Oh man.
Oh, boy. Bummer. Yeah. Mike Milbury back, and he will join us. And then tomorrow, speaking of the Celtics, the debut of Mego on this show. She is our Celtics expert, and she will join us at 9 every Wednesday.
It's a Celtics Friday.
It's a Celtics Friday.
That's like, that's my paying homage to Johnny Most.
All right. And then Ty Law coming up at 9 this morning. And at some point, I want to give away another opportunity to bring your hero to lunch with us as we rightly celebrate those who have served this country the weekend of Veterans Day weekend. So, Chime, when should we squeeze that in? Maybe at 8?
That's a great time.
I like to mix it up because people listen at different times. So, all right, at 8 o'clock, be listening, and you can bring your hero to lunch, and you can bring your hero to our Lunch with a Hero Happy Birthday Joe Landry broadcast, which is happening on the morning of Friday, November 8th at the American Heritage Museum. And we will all celebrate 100 years of Joe Landry, a member of the greatest generation. And we're gonna play Ask a Great Gen, since I'm sick of Ask a Boomer. Which is all about making fun of me, and I'm not really a boomer. I'm just near boomer. So we'll do Ask a Great Gen when Joe is on.
I'm excited because a lot of people from the Great Gen, it's kind of wild, the career paths. Like, when you look at today, it's very simple. It's go to college, start a job, work hard at the job, and eventually move your way up slowly but surely.
Hard.
Yeah, okay. Work a little bit. Yeah, work a little bit.
Focus on the life part of the work-life balance.
I like the gap year.
Move to another job after 6 months because it sounds better. But yes, go ahead. What?
Whereas there's guys like Joe and people of his generation who would be like an athlete in a sport, then go fight in a war, then come back and become a business owner and become one of the richest men in the country. Like, yes. It's insane.
I mean, seems like things were going pretty swimmingly back then.
It was a different world. It was crazy. Guys were grinding.
Yes, they were grinders. You're right about that.
Oh, they were grinding.
They
in
sure
the,
were.
The 30s and 40s.
Imagine a lot of them signed up to fight in a foreign land, and they weren't old enough to actually fight, so they had to lie about it. You can imagine that, Chime?
I can't. I can't even.
But that's why I can't watch enough of those documentaries. Like, it's so unfathomable to me to be that brave.
Yeah.
Like, it's insane. You don't really leave your Iowa town, literally.
No,
and now you're on the beach in France against the most fierce fighting machine known to human history. And you won.
Yep.
God, it's awesome.
Chime's generation was lying about their age to get Four Loko.
Right.
Yes, right. Get into bars.
Give me a grog.
Like, imagine if there was a draft today. Like, what would kids do? Truly, people would be freaking out.
You'd have to show up on the train to go to war with like 7 suitcases, like when you're going to Miami for Taylor Swift.
And the draft would probably be co-ed, right?
Does the Air Force charge for checked bags?
Yes, but now with the, there would be so many people reverting right to their mental health. There's no way I can be in a desert with a gun. I don't like guns.
Right. I'm anti-gun.
Mentally, that just takes me in a place. My anxiety, I can't do it. So you'd have slim pickings for people that would get drafted.
Well, it's arguably my favorite thing that we do during the year, Lunch with a Hero. And so at 8, I will give you the chance to bring your hero. You can also go right to the contest page at WEEI.com and tell us who your hero is and bring your hero to lunch and to the show at the American Heritage Museum that way. So, and I invite everybody to come out on Friday, November 8th. Full road show treatment for Joe Landry. It's his birthday. Just celebrated his 100th birthday. So please make plans right now to join us at the American Heritage Museum on Friday, November 8th for a Flex Friday and a show in advance of Veterans Day and in advance of our Lunch with a Hero at the 110 Grill, modern American cuisine in a trendy, casual atmosphere.
It's time for
Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans.
Would not say that I'm Mona Lisa Vito of the football world.
They
want you to cook the dinner. At least they ought to let you shop for some of the groceries.
Said it.
Wake up to Del Bambino and have me face him. Maybe I'll drill him in the eye.
They said it.
I'm just going to say it.
All right, time for a quick back and forth on what they said yesterday, and I believe we are starting with Joe Mazzulla, the guy that Wiggy says is the best coach in the NBA, Sean. Is that right?
You know it, Greg. We're going to start with Joe Mazzulla. He was asked about pressure being put on him by the media, the Boston media, to get back and win again, and this is how Joe Mazzulla responded.
I just don't look at it as pressure. because like a Boston media member or somebody expecting me to win, like they don't have a weapon, like they're not gonna like come after me if we don't win. Like they're saying words, so like they don't mean anything. They're just words. You're just saying them because you have to say them. You're contractually obligated to write a, you know, 500-page article after, or word article after. They're just words. You can't do anything. And so it's just a made-up word. We don't have a pressure. If we lose, we're not losing our life. Like, we're not surgeons. We're not, like, in the military. We coach basketball for a living. And no one's putting more pressure and expectations than we are on ourselves. And it's like we have a responsibility, and we have an ownership, you know? So I think it's just the perspective of how you look at it and, like, the truth of it, you know?
But words have power. Words.
No, they don't, if you let them. Like, if you allow words to take your personal power, then yes. So I don't allow words to take my personal power. And, like, that's just important. Like, words don't have your... They only have power if you allow them to. And, like, that's what I try to teach my kids. It's like, I don't give a what someone says to you. Like, did you allow that to have an impact on you?
All right.
Wait.
He would be a great life coach.
He is Zen.
Can we play his back and forth with Gary Washburn all last year about words? What are we doing here?
He's grown as a man. Protect your peace, Missoula.
But also, he's not
can
worried.
Can we note the change?
Curtis, he's not worried about any kind of weapon use because he prefers hand-to-hand combat.
Same.
That is it. I think he's like a black belt,
he
too.
He is a black belt. Yeah.
Greg prefers no combat at all.
Yeah, I try to avoid it. Yeah. I use my words.
Lover, not a fighter.
I am a lover, not a fighter.
I mean, he literally battled over words daily. Got enraged about them.
I think he just disagreed Washburn was saying. Mm-hmm. He's saying, you know, we shoot a lot of threes. That's kind of part of the NBA. It's what we do. And then he made it a point to show him, hey, when you said we did, we actually didn't. So
you know what? Credit to Brad Stevens for, I'm assuming, identifying on his own, by himself, that he was not the guy, the right kind of personality to coach the two Jays. And that Joe Mazzulla was the absolute best kind of personality to coach those two guys.
And that's what's working.
And Curtis, I know you say anybody could do it, but I there's something about his personality that leads to those guys being successful. And maybe it is that no pressure, that laissez-faire, that, you know, we're gonna do it all ourselves. We're gonna put the pressure all on ourselves and not listen to anybody else. I don't know. But he's
going to be the coach as long as he wants. He shut me up. Day one, he'll be here.
I also feel like he applies, as much as he says they don't get pressure from the outside, like, I think he applies a ton of pressure inside that building. Like, he clearly, it matters to him a lot, and I think he makes that very clear to the players, where it's very different from Jerod Mayo, who just wants to be your friend and doesn't feel like he's applying very much pressure at all.
Yeah. All right. Well, I keep asking Wiggy, and he can't identify one. Who stands in their way?
I don't see a team that's...
Honestly, they do.
Yeah, just them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, if they have any issues or injuries, like, there's... Greg, the reason this offseason was so crazy, and I can't wait to talk to Wick about it in about 40 minutes, is that for every team that wins, there's a celebratory period nationally, where even if you don't believe the team is dynastic, you talk about, can they repeat? Literally every champion of my lifetime gets that treatment. For this team that was so much better than everybody else, regular season, postseason, great top five season in the history of the NBA, immediately was picked apart. It's so strange.
It is. All right, what's next, Sean?
Well, let's stick with the Boston Celtics because Jalen Brown sat down with Stephen A. Smith just yesterday, and one of the things they discussed was Jalen Brown's snub from the Olympics, and if he had to sign with Nike, would he do it in order to play in the 2028 Olympics? And this is what Jalen Brown had to say.
I'll say this. In 2028, if I have to sign to Nike to increase my likelihood to play USA basketball, I'll pass.
Why?
One, I think the essence, like, you see it in our grassroots. Kids, instead of enjoying the essence of basketball, are, like, forced to pick a side.
Mm-hmm.
I look at our global game in Europe is closing the gap.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that we should focus more on our development of our youth in grassroots. And I think sports, I think shoe companies should have less control over the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like it.
All right, you say he ain't doing it. He ain't doing it for Nike.
Yeah.
Jalen Brown, man. And his birthday celebration over the weekend.
Looked fun.
Spectacular.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, looked pretty good. ASAP Ferg was there. My boy Kodak Black. Little Baby. Looked like it was a nice little turnout. A nice turnout. So, listen, the expectations with this team, man, I don't see a team that can stand in front of them and beat them in seven games. I don't see one team that can do it. I mean, they're not going to sweep everybody, but in the playoffs, I don't think there's a team that can beat them, you know, barring everybody's healthy, and we know that kind of stuff.
All right, what else, Sean?
Well, in Courtney's excellent lead this morning, she talked about Tua Tagovailoa and his return to football action. Well, Tua spoke to the media yesterday. We can hear from Tua talking about willing to, you know, kind of take the risk and play the odds, as he says.
Well, how much risk did we take when we get up in the morning to go drive to work, get into a car crash? Maybe, I don't know. Everything, I think, takes risk. So to answer that question, every time we all suit up, we're all taking a risk that we could potentially get hurt, whether it's a concussion, a broken bone, anything. You get up off of the bed the wrong way, you potentially could risk you spraining your ankle. There's just risk in any and everything. And I'm willing to play the odds. That's it.
There are a lot of people out there legitimately worried about your health and making sure that you're okay.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to those that are worried that you might get hurt again and this is something that's going to continue?
I appreciate your concern. I really do. I love this game, and I love it to the death of me. Oh, that's it.
People are saying the same thing to me about running the Jingle All the Way 5K after straining my Achilles last week with trainer Dan. They're saying the same thing.
You stepped over a puppy gate, too.
I love it too much.
Well, and luckily for you, Greg, you don't have to worry about that risk of getting in a car since you have a driver.
I do not. I mean, occasionally Johnny will drive, but most of the time I drive myself. Thank you, Shine. Mm-hmm.
Just like Tua, if you go out on the 5K, you'll go out doing what you love.
That's correct.
But there you go. You can hear him talk about it. And guys have been in his situation and not have any
that badly.
Yeah. Look at Patrice Bergeron was dealing with concussions. And Sidney Crosby.
Sidney
Crosby was gone for what, months?
It's just the visual that we all saw when it comes to Tua.
But it's technically you saw.
It's technically only two times that his hands were in a death grip, Wiggy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm
frozen.
But I will say this. I generally agree with everything Courtney said. You make great points. But I can't be who I am and then say, you can't do that if that's what you want to do. Like, I feel like if this is the way he wants to live his life, terrified for him, but I'm not going to stand in his way.
Well, some are suggesting that the NFL ought to make a player who has had a concussion wear the Guardian helmet. Do you agree with that?
Which player did we have on this very program that said, yeah, like the Guardian helmet, I hope it helps concussions, but when you shake a ball, even if you put a covering over it, or an egg, when you shake an egg, the yolk is still moving inside. Like, it's not entirely protecting. It might be protecting it a little bit from outside forces, but when you shake
now I have to have Eggs Benedict for first breakfast.
I can't remember if it was Matt Light or somebody else like that.
It probably was Matt Light. Did you find the mustache song?
I did.
Oh, okay. You're going to rejoin with that later?
Yes, I will.
First time hearing it?
I was. It was delightful.
It's pretty good, isn't
it? Was excellent.
Oh, did you say delightful on purpose?
Delightful.
No, that definitely was not.
It was the Matt Lightful?
The Matt Lightful.
Yes. All right. Yeah, I know. It's risky, but he loves the game.
He has to put himself in better positions, right? When you're running to try to pick up a first down, guess what? You got to slide. You can't lower your shoulder because you might, you know, maybe you're a little bit more susceptible to getting a concussion. If you get hit in the pocket, obviously there's nothing you could do about that. But, I mean, if I was him, I'd probably feel the same way. I'd say I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm all good.
Right. Well, news with Courtney coming up next. Irrational fear today. For those who go into the ocean, it's terrifying.
I mean, sharks are not what I am going to be worried about moving forward.
Right?
Yeah. Yep.
This must have created massive anxiety for
you. Yes. Yes. Something is up in the ocean right now.
Yeah.
This proves my point.
This woman lost her life.
Yep.
Due to the irrational fear. So we'll get to Courtney in the news next.
It's time for,
you know, if you just look at where the stars are in the sky, don't look at them as just random things. If you just look at them as points, look at the constellation. What does it show you?
The news.
So you just outlined it, Roland. What does it show you?
With your host, Courtney Cox.
Honey, let me see your dumper.
Sponsored by Northeast Men's Health, with five locations throughout New England and at northeastmenshealth.com.
Not a chance in France.
But. On WEEI.
All right, here she is, our birthday girl with today's news. Happy birthday.
Thank you. It's Libra season.
Yeah. Go shawty.
Yep, OVO.
Did my present arrive yet?
No, but...
Okay, it was supposed to arrive.
Yeah, I'm expecting it'll come maybe after the wedding present.
Yeah, after the... Well, I think you have 5 years to give a wedding gift, don't you, Curtis? Is that the way it
that goes? That it is.
Yeah,
yep.
Something like that. Right. An engine fire stopped a United Airlines flight from taking off at Logan last night. The plane was headed for Washington when the crew reported an engine issue and the Boeing had to return to its departing gate. They realized this issue because they found a small piece of grass that had caught on fire behind the plane when it was taxiing.
Wow.
They need a full rebrand over there at Boeing.
Yeah.
Or United?
Can you suggest a new name for Boeing? They need something new.
Fly safe?
Yeah.
It's bad PR.
Fly safe.
Interesting that folks living nearby reported that their homes were shaking and they heard loud noises coming from the airport. Here's one resident, Joe Quigley, on WCVB.
This was different. This was like the Constitution was out here shooting its guns off this morning. It was like two loud bangs like that. It was something that you noticed something happened at the airport.
Okay. I mean, yeah.
Joe's on it.
Are we going to get to Constitution Gate?
We are. It's up next.
Oh, we are. Okay.
Yep. Right, yeah. Great.
Well, glad they made it back to the airport.
Yeah, no injuries.
So. You just mentioned Courtney's wedding. I think that's what Joe was talking about.
It was like two loud bangs like that.
Yes, Greg brought it up. A clarification has been provided on the USS Constitution and whether or not they had a misfire on the boat. Boston police officers received a call from the Charlestown Navy Yard, and the scanner call was picked up by somebody on social media, and then it started making its rounds.
So the Constitution is the oldest commissioned warship in the U.S. Navy.
Right. It's the black one at over in Charlestown.
Yes.
In the water.
And so they were going out. They do like a 275th birthday cruise.
Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to when they dragged Jimmy Carter out to watch the flyover.
Your obsession with Jimmy Carter is tremendous.
They don't go very far. They just, because the thing is, you know, it's a bucket of bolts, as they used to say. So they take the thing out, turn it around, shoot their guns. But they had called the police, apparently, because they thought they actually fired live rounds.
Well, that's what people thought originally. Yeah. But the Navy has said that since the misfire occurred, but it was a gun that didn't fire at all. So it was, the misfire was that one of them didn't go off, and they reiterated that they do not have live ammunition in any of these guns.
Okay.
And it was all during their usual sunset salute.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Here's a bit of the scanner audio that made its way around social media.
This one's going to be a first for me. 21-second Ave, meet up with the staff from the USS Constitution. Apparently one of their cannons had a misfire, and they need to recover the round from that building.
So it seems,
Curtis,
like...
you're off a little today. You should say that also happened at the wedding. but go ahead. What?
It seems like it was just a miscommunication all the way around. Nobody was in any danger,
okay, all
and
right.
everything's
all right.
good. Yeah.
Good.
Yep. Boston has renamed the North Washington Street Bridge in Bill Russell's honor. The bridge is now called the William Felton Bill Russell Bridge.
This is cool.
Yeah, currently under construction, but is expected to be open by April.
It's the one by the TD Garden that goes over to Charlestown.
Correct.
The north end to that bridge right there.
Yes,
okay.
Yeah, that's awesome for Bill Russell.
Yeah,
awesome.
Very cool. Jaylen Brown was at that as well. Mm-hmm. Here's Michelle Wu.
In D.C., he marched with Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. In Mississippi, he opened the state's first integrated basketball camp. And here in Boston, he spoke with students protesting school segregation.
Hmm. Here's what I would say. Move him and Red Auerbach to the TD Garden near the Barbie Orr statue.
Their bodies, or you're talking about their statues?
Their statues.
Oh, okay.
Yes. I don't know where. I don't know. Unless they're like Teddy Ballgame and their heads are frozen on ice.
I didn't know what you were suggesting there.
No, okay. I would move their statues because I don't like this. the Red Auerbach statues in Faneuil Hall.
Yeah.
And the Bill Russell statue is over there.
You want all the statues where the Bobby Orr statue is when you walk it? That's pretty, that'd be pretty cool.
Because it's like.
But what do you do when we get the Bezos Arena?
Like, you just take those statues and you move them to wherever the arena's going to go. Because isn't it weird to have a statue of Red Auerbach and Bill Russell nowhere near the arena?
Yeah, it is kind of weird.
You know, it's like if somebody who doesn't really know who Bill Russell is or even Red Auerbach, they're like, who's this guy sitting on a bench in the middle of Faneuil Hall with a cigar in his mouth?
Right.
And the other guy is shooting a basketball by City Hall.
Yeah.
Curtis, are you okay with Bill Russell getting a bridge before your guy Tom Brady got a bridge?
Bill Russell is a unicorn.
Yeah.
He was a player, coach, broke barriers, won almost, well, just about double what Tom won here.
Yeah.
So no issue at all.
He have 11, right?
Yes, 11.
11 championships. Yeah. That's pretty extraordinary. That's
trailblazing. I would say maybe he and Jackie Robinson, the most influential trailblazing athletes in American history.
Yeah. I think it's like an 8 or 9 straight championships. Oh, something ridiculous.
All right, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
We will get to the rest of the news, including an irrational fear, a terrifying irrational fear for those of you who venture into the ocean.